Remember, the word says in the presence of the Lord is fullness of what? Joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Ah, good God Almighty. I'm a shaking and a quaking. You know, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. He usually gives me the first song on the way sometimes or when I get here. But I don't know what he wants to do. He doesn't reveal to me what he's going to do. And I'm not going to say that all the time. But I don't know what songs are going to be released. I have no idea. As we begin to worship and the anointing begins, then he brings us on the direction where he wants to bring us. That's the beauty of being led by the Spirit, isn't it? See, he can meet everybody's need. It only takes one song to change a person. Two words to change a person. That's all it takes. And just cross over, dive into his presence. All those idols of the heart are diminished. All those worries and frustrations, they're gone. And you just get filled and get drunk. And they get joyful. People pay big money for this. Hallelujah. He paid the price for me and you. I got a tab that's unconditional. Hallelujah. Say, put it on my tab. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Okay, stop for a second. If you love him, you what? Obey him. To those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we've been predestined to be conformed into his son Jesus, the character of Jesus. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also what? Glorified. We've been predestined to be conformed to his image, the character of the son. Predestined to fulfill a purpose. Designed personally for each individual. That's called destiny. The journey of life is to find and fit into his will. That is the journey of life, is to find and to fit into his will. We didn't know it yet until it began in face-to-face encounters that we had a desire to be free. We have a will to be free. Everyone say will to be free. We were born with this will to be free, predestined. So there were certain things that you had to be born with so God can prepare you as a predestined, called individual from heaven. And we have a will. So you were born with a will to be free. You have a desire to be free. We were born with it. Why? Because God sent us in a place of bondage. Somebody get it? We were born into the world of bondage, but we came into this world with a desire or a will to be free. So that's called free will. Hello. You have a free will to choose, but you were born with a desire to be free. Somebody get it? Good. Again, we didn't know it until we began to began in face-to-face encounters of bondage. We didn't know we needed to be free. Amen? And bondages of sickness and poverty and deception. We didn't know we had a desire to be free. We tried worldly ways, doctors and this and that, whatever, to be free. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling anybody not to go to a doctor. There are some that are good, but most of them are quacks. But God made herbs and things for us to be healed. And if your diet is correct and you don't eat the delicacies of the wicked, you'll live a healthy life. Is everybody okay? Romans 12. There is a will to be what? Free. You were born with it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or responsibility. That should be done daily. Do not be what? Conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts, your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There are three wills of God. Each one represents a chamber of the tabernacle of God. There's the outer court, holy place, most holy place. The most holy place is where the kings. The holy place is the priests. The outer court of citizens. So there's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And you can't do the perfect will of God without carrying the anointing of a king. Renewed thoughts to escape the will of the world. That's why he says, do not be conformed to the what? World, to the will of the world. Well, what's the will of the world? Their desires are totally different than God's desires. Even though we're in the world, we're not part of the world. We've been taken out. But if you're associated with the world and still playing with the world, touching the things of the world, agreeing with the things of the world, well, then the love of Father is decreased in you. We need to be renewed of our thoughts to escape the will of the world and to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So there's three levels of God. Will. They are the will to be what? Free. So there's three areas where a person is either fully free or not fully free. Does everybody get it? That's why there's many believers that are still not free yet. They may be free in some areas, but not in others. They're still carrying the idols of their heart. They haven't come to a full denial of self yet. So when you enter the tabernacle of God, which is the eternal portal home. That's why God established it. Then Jesus paid the price. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the tabernacle. No one comes to the Father except for through the Son. So they got to go through the portal. That's the eternal portal of life. Jesus. So there's the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. And which one do you want to live in? Hallelujah. Do you want to do the perfect will of God, acceptable or good? Out of these three chambers is three wills of God and three anointings of God and three levels of presence of God. 2 Timothy 2:21, let's speak it. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, let me share with you, express this, thoughts. The latter thoughts that entangled us, that bound us. He will be a vessel for what? Honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Why? He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your thoughts, that you can prove the wills of God. So you can't prove the will of God without renewing your mind. Now, your mind is nothing but a storage unit for a memory. Thoughts. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Why is he saying, look at fellowship with those who have a pure heart? Why? Associations bring impartations. Corruption, you hang with someone that's corrupt, it's going to bring impartation to you. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate what? Strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God will perhaps grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. To do what? His will. Cleanse the thoughts from the past and renew from the future. So when you're renewing your thoughts, you're renewing them from the future, bringing them into the present. Because those are God's promises. You renew them from the future, the promises of God, to escape the will of the world, which is the will of the devil. The will of the world is the will of the devil. We battle it every day. We're hard-pressed every day. Proverbs 23, and we'll start at verse 1. Everything that was created by God, angels, everyone, has a will to be free. They have a desire to be free, and they have a free will. But in the presence of God, you're free. It's when you come out of the presence of God where you become bound. Verse 1, let's speak it. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, and that's someone with authority or wealth, consider carefully what is before you. And put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Now, he's not talking about food. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are what? Deceptive food. In other words, the words that he's speaking, don't partake in them, don't accept them. There are deceptive words, deceptive foods, because what you speak is what you eat is what you become. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. You will set your eyes on that which is not, for riches carefully make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his what? Delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Let me share with you, as you think in your heart, so you are. As we think in our heart, so we are. That's why there's a battle over the thoughts. So the enemy wants us to think according to the way he thinks, or remove anything that's pure and replace it with corruption. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Wow. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words, because they can't get it. Hallelujah. So he's saying, don't follow the way of the life of those that serve the world. Don't follow their ways of life. Your associations will bring impartations in your thought patterns. As you think, you will become. And so what will happen is your identity will be manipulated. It'll be compromised. You'll be losing the will to be free. Believing you are free when you're really not. Did you ever walk up to someone they start talking about Jesus, they pull out a cigarette and start lighting and tell them they've been free from drugs and alcohol for years? They're deceived. They're still bound. Hallelujah. As a person thinks, so he is. as a person thinks so he is. So what comes out of your mouth, you're going to eat, and it's going to be put into memory. If you agree with something that comes out of somebody else's mouth, will be eaten, put into memory. So you can't allow your mirror to dictate who you are. You can't allow the scale to dictate who you are. You can't allow your neighbors, your friends, the news to dictate who you are. You can't allow the doctors to dictate who you are. You can't allow those wrinkles to dictate who you are. I'm 33 and I'm going to die 33. I don't care what the world tells me. See, they're just counting my years of the world. I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. Ask my wife. She's still trying to figure it out. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the what? The ways of the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, he didn't dictate what three wills abide forever. If you're in the tabernacle, you're in the tabernacle. Your rewards will be given to you when you get home, determining what will you're at, what will you're manifesting. But we don't do it for will, for rewards. We do it because we love Jesus. Don't love the wickedness of the world, its desires or lusts, but prove the will of God as a choice to abide forever. To abide forever. Luke 22, verse 39. Coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, as it was a custom, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. I don't know how far the throw was. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my, but your will be done. Think about this. Jesus was being tempted. Amen. He had to fight. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the pain and the agony. He knew the humility. But he let love overcome. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus' battle within him was so strong that his spirit was overcoming his body. And he was dripping blood, not sweat. When he rose up from the prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter temptation. And while, of course, he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near to Jesus and kissed him. And, of course, Jesus said to Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, in this scripture and in other scriptures, it talks about Jesus getting up and praying three times. He earnestly prayed three, Lord, if it's your will, pass this cup by, but not my will, your will. You know, we all fall into that place. Lord, this is too tough for me. It's just too tough for me. But not my will, your will. See, what you just did is you denied yourself. Because he says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. See, but you got to take those things, what he says, into your memory banks and proclaim them so that you can overcome. Why? It increases your faith. It brings your identity. It reconnects your identity with the Son. And you as a son and God as your father. Then you know who you are again. But the compromise of identity causes problems. It's a constant thing. The enemy knows if he can't get you one way, he'll try and get you another way. He gets us busy to drain us. So many times people go on the boundaries of what they're supposed to be doing and they fall into a place of draining and weakness. And then you know what usually happens? They get injured. They get injured because they're so drained, they're weak. Not realizing they've been spiritually drained, but now they're physically drained. Jesus prayed three times against the temptations to change the will of the Father if he would change it. Fulfilling every chamber of the tabernacle with the will of God. That's why he prayed three times to bring the will of God in every chamber of the tabernacle. Why? Because he was going to be the way, truth, and life. He had to overcome. And then when he was sacrificed, he cleansed the chamber with his blood. No longer animals. That's why the blood always goes before the spirit. The blood of Jesus. That's why repentance manifests, activates the blood of Jesus. So repentance always goes before the spirit. The blood always goes before the spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll start at verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. In other words, learn more and more. Press in more and more. Just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Your what? Sanctification, your separation from the world. That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in separation or sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects us does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. The will of God, walk and to please God by separation from the will of the desire in the world. The world has a desire or a will of its own. It's controlled by the demonic forces in Satan's kingdom. Romans 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request of, if by some means, now and at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. In the will of God to what? Come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. What was he saying? I need to find a way in the will of God to come to you. In other words, move according to his timing of purpose. Move according to his timing and purpose, surrendering your will of desire and only move on the things at his time. So many people move out of God's time. Paul said, listen, man, I'm going to wait for the Lord to lead me to come to see you, even though I really want to come and see you. I'm not going to do anything outside of the Lord's will. Hebrews 10:32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession of yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your what? Confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the what? The promises. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by what? Faith. We need to have endurance after we complete the assignment. God gives you assignments of will. After you've completed an assignment, a promise is released. Now, you don't know what promise that might be. But he loves to surprise us. He loves to surprise us in certain things. And it could be the simplest thing, you know. And we were at a job, and this guy that we've done some work for before, and he was always... They're an older couple. They're pretty rough, grumpy. and miserable. I guess that's all I need to say about that. And so we did some work from them and this and that. He always accuses us of not doing something he tells us that he wants done, and we do it. He just doesn't see it. So anyways... He asked us to do something, and I was like, man, I really didn't want to, but I thought I'd do it just to try and help. And we really didn't finish the job, but they were arguing, him and his wife, on the phone and whatever. And it's like, you know, I said to Shane, let's get out of here. We'll just go on to something else, and then we'll call him and whatever. And because we did metal stuff, and it had to be painted bronze, so we had to get the special paint on. Aluminum paint, painted bronze. It took us whatever. And so he called. I tried calling, left messages, and even texted him, but he'd never got it. And he calls me, and the first words out of his mouth is, I am so disappointed in you. Well, let me tell you, I didn't need to hear that. I could have heard something, you know, are you done yet? What do you think? You know, something after, I said, because we had to still go back and talk, do a couple of things, but we weren't finished yet. He said, I'm so disappointed in you. And I thought, you know what, Lord, I'm not taking no more. I'm going to shut my mouth because I wanted to say some things. Rebuke that devil, something like that, you know. But I just said, you know what, since you're so disappointed in me, I'm not charging you nothing. You don't have to give me nothing. You can keep that. Over $300 of material we just bought and everything else that we were about to do, and you can call someone else, and please do not call me again. And I won't. He says, like, okay. Well, 2 days later, we get a call from another person, spirit-filled believer, sweet people. We went and did work for them. They were so blessed. They were happy. We gave them prayer booklets. The guy gave us a blessing. More than what the job was worth. And we just like, Shane and I just like looked at each other and all, that was a blessing. Let's try to, Lord, send us more people like that. You know, but some of them need to know about Jesus, but some of them don't want to know nothing. And I believe these people thought they were Christians. But the other people definitely, you know. But these people were very sweet. That we, again, this was a simple reward. a promise being released after he fulfilled the assignment of God. Does everybody get it? And it I'm telling you, re-energizes, encourages us. All right, praise God. It's good. It was fun. It was pleasant. And the reward was awesome. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Anyways, so we need endurance. Amen? To complete the assignment so the promise is released. You don't know what God's trying to release to you. But he always gives you assignment because the law never stops. What you sow is what you reap. It doesn't stop. 1 Peter 4. Boy, I had a will to be free from that. And, you know, the enemy beats you up, you know. I had a hard time sleeping on it, thinking I did something wrong. I was trying to think, what could I have done to stop this? And the Lord kept going, why do you keep going there? I said, well, I just want to know. Don't stop going there, he kept saying to me. Stop it. So he rewarded me, then I didn't have to go there no more. I was going to the last one now. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 4, is everybody there? Verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but live for what? The will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, or the devil, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And regarding these things, they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. And it's in the same flood of dispensation speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they may be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit, to the God in the Spirit. Arm your thoughts. Remember, mind is a storage place. In other words, arm your thoughts. Thoughts can become weapons for God. God's word is armory. It's weaponry. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. Amen? So the will, weapons of God's words to and his promises. So we must arm ourselves with these things. We must speak these things. So when the devil tells you you're miserable, even when you feel miserable, don't accept it. Thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, even though I want to kill somebody. You know? I mean, again, you got to decree what you want God to decree for you. So you're going to speak it out of your own mouth, and you're going to eat it, and you're going to change. Amen? I'm going to close in John 9, verse 18. Now, Jesus healed this dude, and the Jews didn't believe that he got healed because he was born blind. And in verse 18 it says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him if he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Oh, man, they'd lose their privileges. Their swimming, tennis, things to that degree. Hallelujah. His parents said these things, yes. Verse 23. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So again, they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether or he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Oh, man, that really ticked them off now because they were so full of pride. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Then the man answered and said to them, why, this is marvelous thing. Here's the blind man saying to him, this is marvelous. That you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. So there's, if you wonder why God ain't hearing you, you either stopped worshiping or you're not doing his will. You're doing your own. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He answered and said to them, you were completely born in sins and you are teaching us? They cast him through him. Here's a guy that got delivered, healed, opened his eyes. Jesus freed him. He goes into tell the Sanhedrin and Sadducee, the rulers of the Jews, and he just blew them away, man. It's just a simple truth that he released to them. And he even said to them, God doesn't hear a prayer of a sinner, but he hears a prayer of a worshiper and those who does his will. And they're going, are you teaching us? They freaked out. But you know what? He was free and they weren't. They were blinded and he was able to see. Again, you and I were born with a will to be free, a will to see, with a will to fulfill. And that is a free will. So you and I have a free will to choose the right things and to please God. Let's not take it for granted, but let us fulfill it. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Father, that you'd seal what's been released to us, encourage us, and let it grow bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.